Good morning, saints. God bless you. Well, we've had some great teachings this week, and I'm very thankful and excited to be up here. I'm thankful to Tom for giving me the privilege of teaching this morning with you guys, and thankful for all of you, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. What an honor it is to hold forth God's word with you and for you this morning. This morning we are going to be looking at Jesus Christ, our shepherd, and the door. So you can turn to John 10. We are going to be looking at how he describes himself as the door to the God's fold, and the shepherd, and what the shepherd is and what the shepherd does. In John 10, we're kind of jumping into a situation, and Jesus Christ is, this is actually just after the feast, where last night we heard Jesus Christ speaking about the water that was going to come from him, and that was going to flow out from the ones who believed on him. Just a couple days later, he was still in Jerusalem, and he was speaking to a group of mixed people. There were disciples there, there were Pharisees there, there were Jews there. And so he's speaking to them in verse 1. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth them forth, or when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." So he's telling them things that they would already know, right? But very often in this, he's speaking in a figure here, as it says later on. But he's speaking in a figure, and they would have known all of this. Maybe you, how many of you guys have worked on a sheep farm? Okay, none of you. Yeah, neither have I. but they would have known these things. They would have been familiar with a shepherd, seeing the shepherds with their sheep around, and what a sheepfold was. I was just asked this question a couple of days ago. And a sheepfold would have been, I'm holding my arms out kind of in an embrace for those of you listening, but a sheepfold would have been a walled enclosure with a door at one end, a small opening in the wall, and it could have been made out of stones or sticks or something, but it was to keep the sheep safe. It was a place to bring the sheep. There could be multiple flocks, multiple groups of sheep in one fold, but it would be a place that the sheep would, you know, not be scattered. They would all stay in one place, protected, and nobody would get in. It would stop wolves or other things from getting in. And there would be a porter at the door, somebody guarding the door so that the sheep don't get out and nothing bad gets in. And so he says, the shepherd, you guys know this, you Jews, the shepherd comes to the door and the porter, you know, lets him come in and he calls his sheep, he knows his sheep, and his sheep follow him. And apparently this is still how it happens, that you know, the shepherd would call the sheep and he would lead them out to the pasture so that they could be fed, so that they could be taken care of. And so he's describing this to them. And in verse 6, it says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." Not uncommon. But in verse 7 it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again," or further, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." So here he says that he is the door of or for the sheep. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Okay, so here he's describing himself. He gave this illustration of the sheep, and the fold, right? And he says, I'm the door. I am the way in. If you want into this fold, if you want to be a part of this flock that's taken care of in this fold, it's me, right? And I think it's so, consider, he keeps contrasting this to the thief, right? That the thieves are not going to take care of the sheep. They do not want the sheep's good. They cannot enter in the door, right? The porter is at the door. If a thief tries to come in, not accepted. The shepherd comes, and the sheep, he has access to the sheep. But here he says, I am the door. If anybody wants in, they come in through me. And those that come in verse 9 it said, they will be saved, right? They will be delivered, rescued. And they shall go in and out and find pasture. So those sheep that go in through him, through that door, are going to be saved, are going to be taken care of. And this term going in and going out is used often in the Old Testament, and it's often used as having an ability to do something or a freedom in some cases. It's used for those in jail that they did not have the ability to go in and out, right? They were in jail. Moses, when he was old, he said he couldn't go in and out anymore because he was old. And Solomon actually asked of God for wisdom so that he could go in and out before God's people, so that he would have the ability to do what he needed to do for them. And so here he says, those that come in, they will be able to go in and out and find pasture. They're going to be taken care of. In verse 10, the thief comes not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Again, there's the thief not coming for good. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ says he came that they might have life. Did we learn about a life last night? Was it meager at all in any sense? No. And this is what he says here. They're going to have life. By me they will have life, and they will have it exceedingly. It will be, and we saw that last night. It is not a small life. It is a life that exceeds. Not speaking of necessarily my physical life, but it's speaking of spiritual life here. They are going to have life. And now in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. So first he talked of himself as the door. I'm the way in. If you want in, if you want to be a part of this fold, then you need to come in through me. And now he describes himself as a shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Let's hold your fingers here and go to the Old Testament, to Ezekiel, right after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel 34. This is a time where many of God's people had been scattered because of their sin. And he's speaking here of the shepherds. I'll leave this for you to read, the first half of this chapter. But it's speaking of those shepherds that were not caring for the sheep. But we are going to look in verse 11. So he says, they were not doing what I want them to do. In verse 11, he says, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the people. I will gather them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. This was God's heart. He didn't want them to be scattered in the first place, but they had continually turned from him. And so he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to gather my sheep from all the places that they've been scattered, as a shepherd does. He brings, when those sheep go off to the side, he goes and he brings them back so that they're all together in a fold. In verse 15, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost. I will bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick. I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between the cattle and cattle, between the rams and the goats. So he's going to go on and talk about the cattle between themselves. But here, did you see, he said he's going to bind up the sick. He's going to feed them. He's going to bring them into a fat pasture, right? Not a meager pasture, not where they have to dig around in the dirt to try to find that little bit of grass that's left. No, it's going to be flourishing. He's going to take care of them so that they have everything that they need. And let's go to verse 22. He says, therefore will I save my flock and shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. And the Lord, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Let's go back to John 10. So he said he was going to set up one shepherd over them, his servant David. That's speaking of Jesus Christ. The one that was promised out of David's line. So that shepherd was going to be in line with God. If God was going to set up that shepherd, and he just described what he wanted for his sheep, right? He wanted them to be taken care of. He wanted them to be brought together so that they were safe and so that they were fed and that their wounds were bound up, right? The shepherd that he's going to set up over them is going to be the same. So in verse 11, he said again, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Okay. Jesus Christ did that. He gave his life for the sheep. Verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is an hireling, and he cares not for the sheep. Right. So if there was one who was hired, and he sees a wolf coming, right, or a bear coming, he doesn't really care about the sheep. He's just in it for the money, right? Wolf coming, that's funny. Yes. So the hireling, he's going to run away. He doesn't care about the sheep. In contrast, again, in contrast, the shepherd is shown in contrast so many times. But the shepherd gives his life. You know, I know Jesus Christ, he did lay down his life. We saw that a number of ways earlier this week. And so very thankful for it. But here it's in contrast to the hireling that runs away, right? The shepherd, he loves his sheep. He cares for his sheep. And when danger comes, he's not going to run away. He's going to do whatever it takes, putting his life on the line to take care of his sheep. In verse 14, actually, before we go on to that, let's go to Mark chapter 6, verse 34. This is Jesus Christ when he had just learned about John the Baptist being killed. His disciples had just come back from going around to all of the cities proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And they were tired. They had been working. And Jesus Christ had been in multitudes. You know, there was a lot going on. And Jesus Christ said, okay, we're going to go across to the other side of the sea. We're going to take a break, find some rest. They didn't even have time to eat, it says. And here in verse 34, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, he got off of the boat, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And what did he do? He began to teach them many things. And it goes on. He, not only did he teach them most of the day, but he also took care of them by feeding them miraculously. And then he had them go. You know, he basically said goodbye to each one of them, sent away his disciples as well. You know, think of his care that he had for them, right? He saw these people that were like sheep scattered, and he saw them and had compassion on them because he knew what he had, right? He knew he was going to die for them, but he also knew, I can give them words right now. And he did that. He had compassion on them. Let's go back to John. That's just a small example of taking care of them. He fed them in multiple ways. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, he says again. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. Where's my NIV people? Can somebody read those two verses, 14 and 15, in the NIV?
I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Yeah. So he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, right? Earlier in that first illustration, he said the shepherd, he calls his sheep and they hear him and they come out, right? He knows his sheep and they know him. And he says, in the King James, it's not as clear that these are joined. It's, as I know my Father and the Father knows me, that's how I know my sheep. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. In Acts, at the end of chapter 2, it says that as they were preaching the gospel, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, right? Those that were being saved, the Lord was adding. He was adding each one, right? It says that he gave gifts unto men as well in Ephesians 4. And we looked at that yesterday morning. That he's the one that gave those ministries. He gave to each one, to each member in his body. Another awesome example. So he knows his sheep. In verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one that should be flock. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. And I think this is significant. You know, he was, when he sent out his disciples earlier, he told them, go unto the lost sheep of Israel. Okay, that was before. He said, go to the sheep of Israel, because that's who I am sent to right now. But here he says, I've got other sheep as well. Right? He was also looking towards what was to come. He said, there are other sheep, not of this fold right now, but they will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. And I think that's significant because I said earlier, a fold, it was a place, right, to take care of the sheep, but there could be multiple flocks in a fold. Like there could, three or four shepherds could bring all their flocks in a city. They could bring them all into one fold to be taken care of. But through the work of Jesus Christ, we're not many flocks all hanging out together. We are one flock. We're all brought together, and there is one shepherd, right? There's nothing in our flesh divides us anymore. We are all one flock in him. In verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He did this willingly. He was the one that chose to lay down his life, right? We saw that with with Josh's teaching earlier this week. It wasn't a trick, right? He relinquished that authority. And here he says that he had that authority. He had the authority to say, I'm giving my life now for you. And it says that he had the authority again to take it again, because he had received that of his father. So he did lay down his life, right? We saw that. And he was raised again. Let's go to John chapter 21, just a few chapters further. So he laid down his life, and God raised him back from the dead. And he was on earth for a short period of time. And this is one of the things that he did in John chapter 21. In verse 15, he says, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. So here Jesus Christ, he knew that he was going to be ascending to his Father. And he tells Peter, feed my sheep. There's a couple of different words used here for feed, but in the second one, it's the word for shepherding. It's the same word for shepherd. It's care for, tend, take care of my sheep, right? Jesus Christ was not physically going to be here anymore. So he told Peter, take care of my sheep. And let's go to the book of 1 Peter, towards the end of your Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. It says, The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. And that word for feed is the same word for shepherding or tending, right? So those who were elders, right, in the church, there is a structure to it. And that structure is not dictated by a person's value or anything else. We are all together in Christ. We're all one in Christ. There's no hierarchy. But we'll see here. He says, those that are elders, feed the flock which are among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, right? Those that are elders in the church are not as lords. They're not set above God's heritage. But the end of that verse, but being examples of the flock, right? So they're to be among the flock. They're examples of the flock. They are part of the flock. But Jesus Christ is not physically here right now. And this is one part of the flock being taken care of, is those elders being among the flock and feeding, being examples, as it says here. In verse 4, and when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus Christ, shall appear, when he shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Let's go to Acts 28. I thought it was fitting that Jesus Christ had told Peter, feed my sheep. And then it's in the book of Peter that Peter wrote that he said, right, those that are elders, be among the sheep and feed them, take care of them. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, this is Paul speaking to the elders that were in Ephesus. I said Acts 20, verse 28. Okay. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, or that should be the blood of his own, being Jesus Christ. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Right? So here we see an exhortation for those that were set in an oversight position to feed the flock among them. And because there would be others coming in that would try to draw sheep away, right? There, we have an adversary, don't we? Yeah. And those that are mature, that believe this, are to help to feed, to that the flock would be taken care of. But we have, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. So that's one aspect, is that there are those in the structure of the church that are to feed and to tend God's flock as examples, not as lords, but as examples among the flock. But our Lord is alive. He's not dead, right? That shepherd, he gave his life, but he did not stay dead. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, this book has a lot about the hope that is to come and really living this life that we have here in light of what Jesus Christ has done, in light of that hope that we have, and how to live as Christians in this world that we are in. And part of the end of chapter 2 is speaking specifically to servants who have masters physically in this world, and how they can live for Jesus Christ, how they can live out this life. And even if they have masters that are froward or masters that would demand a lot of them, not easily. And at the end of this chapter, it says, it gives Christ as an example. But then in verse 24, it says, who his own self, speaking of Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's a quote at the end there from Isaiah 53, and it continues to quote from Isaiah 53 in verse 25, for you were as sheep going astray, or you were going astray as sheep, is how it should be taken. And that's quoted from Isaiah 53, that we were not on the right path, right? We were away. That's speaking of our sins, our iniquities that we were in. We were not with God. We were not toward God. We were astray. We were lost. But now are returned, or that can be understood as converted, is how it's also translated, or just turned. We have turned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Right, so when we believed on Jesus Christ, we turned not just to a dead Savior, but we've turned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls, the one who cares for and oversees our lives. That's who we've turned unto. What a comfort for these guys, what a comfort for us, that we have a living Savior. Right, we have one who cares for and oversees our souls. Let's go back to John chapter 10. We're getting towards the end here. Last point. So we've seen he's the only way in. We've seen that he knows his sheep. He cares for his sheep to the point of giving his life so that they could be saved, so that they would have an exceeding life, so that they would be cared for. That there are those in this church, in this assembly, to help, to be examples, to help, to care, and to guard. By the way, we saw the body of Christ yesterday, right? And one of those members that he has given is the same word for shepherd as well, to be an example of caring and tending the flock as well. But in John chapter 10, there's one more part that he went away for a few months and then came back to Jerusalem. And in verse 24 of chapter 10, it says, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So again, he says, his sheep hear his voice, and they know him and follow him. We know from previous sections, like John 3, right, that it's to whosoever believeth, right? So this is not saying, if you're a sheep, then you'll believe. It's saying, if you believe, then you will be his sheep, and he knows you. In verse 28, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave me them, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I think all of that needs to go together. So he says he gives them eternal life. We saw that earlier. But here he adds, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. He's a very strong shepherd. But it's not his strength, right? He says, no one can pluck them out of my hand because my Father is greater than all. My Father and I are one, right? That Jesus Christ, he's the shepherd. God set him as the shepherd. He's the one that has the care. But he and his Father are one. They're together. His strength, Christ's strength, is God's strength, right? Everything that Christ got, he got from God. He doesn't do anything of himself. Let's look at a few illustrations of this. In Jude, right towards the end of your book, right before Revelation, little tiny book. It's interesting. This is another one of those books, if you want to read it on your own, where the saints were under tremendous pressure. And it's a great book of comfort and encouragement, even in the midst of that. And it starts off here in verse 1. It's easy to miss. Jude 1. "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." I'm going to read this in the NIV. It says, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ." We're kept by Jesus Christ. Let's go to Thessalonians 3, or 2 Thessalonians 3. Actually, we're going to start at the end of 2. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. It says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father. Right? They're working together. They're in concert together. Give you consolation and good hope through grace. In chapter 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of our Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we have commanded you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We'll close here. Chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, or as we've seen, that word can be but, because we may be in those things. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ loved us. He was the one that chose to lay down his life. It was God who sent him to be a shepherd for us, to care for us, and he's now risen. We have life through him because he gave his own life, and we get to continue with him until he returns for us, and we are together with him again. So